the markets have seen, just across the board, a struggle with a lot more red on it than we're used to seeing. But what is the overview and the pressure we're seeing from a grain perspective? Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Zach Hooker joins us now with Comstock Investments. And overview, I mean, we know harvest is getting underway in the South. We're anticipating those yield numbers to start showing up. What are you seeing that seems to be continually pulling us into the red and we can't fight our way back?
Yeah, Susan, the grains were down across the board for most of today. Soybeans lost some ground after we failed to hear of a signed trade deal after last week's talks with China. And then this week, rains have continued to fall across Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, in areas that have just been a bit too dry lately, which should kind of help to finish that crop out, but unfortunately has also pushed the futures into the red a little bit. Wheat has been lower as well, as we hear expectations of large crops coming out of Russia and Argentina. And then corn has been mixed. It just can't seem to make up its mind as the trade keeps going back and forth between a record harvest outlook and mounting disease pressure.
So you talk about that disease pressure, and we've been hearing that it's getting worse and worse, especially when we look at the I states, for example. From a marketing perspective, how do we deal with this? What should we be thinking about before those combines hit the field? So maybe we're in the right marketing frame of mind.
Yeah, definitely. So we are hearing reports, especially following the major private crop tours, of disease outbreaks throughout the Corn Belt, including Southern Rust, which appears to be pretty widespread. The impact of this kind of remains to be seen. On one hand, history would tell us that disease at this point in the year doesn't impact yield as much as many are thinking. But we're also hearing from producers that a month ago they were expecting to harvest the best crop they've ever had, and now they're deciding to just chop it. You know, that's leading some to say that we'll lose some harvested corn acres to silage. But again, historically, that's not the case. So I don't foresee that having a huge impact. Again, though, when projecting record yields, especially in the upper 180s, like we heard earlier this year, everything needs to be close to perfect in the major growing regions. With disease like this, it's really likely that won't be the case. But in the USDA's crop conditions report late Tuesday, we really didn't see a huge downgrade in condition ratings. In corn, we maybe saw a percentage point move down in each category from the prior week, and soybeans weren't much different. So we may kind of have to wait till for harvest to get kicked off to really be able to kind of make that decision. These cooler mornings are starting to hit. Fall's certainly giving us some teasers here and there, but all forecasts continue to keep the chances of an early frost as minimal, which is all we can ask for heading into harvest.
And of course, that frost, they seem to be kind of backing it off a little bit when it comes to the potential. But it still sounds like the Dakotas, Wisconsin could see something.
Yeah, there's always potential. And, you know, gosh, I've never been much of a weather guy. And I think I'm probably more of an optimist when it comes to that. And you just kind of got to hope that it holds off as long as it can.
Well, let's talk, switching gears and look at these livestock. It's been definitely an interesting ride from a cattle perspective. And, you know, as you look, Zach, is there some packer profitability maybe happening right now?
Yeah, very possible. The cattle complex has seen a bit of a downward correction over the past 2 to 3 days, depending on the contract. Today, we've been down as much as $4.50 in the feeder cattle and nearly $3 in the live cattle. It does seem that maybe this market is acting a little differently than it has been in recent months. I mean, we're looking at 2 to 3 days of losses with really no negative news dragging the market down. But we are now through Labor Day weekend, which has been a target for many and is traditionally the end of grilling season. So I do think a little bit of pullback was expected this week.
What are we going to see, though? Is the cattle going to be able to correct themselves and maybe find something to push them back? I mean, we've kind of been, you know, fortunate to see these higher numbers that we've had for so long?
Absolutely. So whether this correction is going to be sustained or if it's just another buying opportunity, I mean, that's the million-dollar question. Here's the thing. We have to lose a good amount of dollars in this market for me to believe that it's fallen apart. I mean, we're $20 above the trendline resistance that held for most of the year before failing back in July. If the week ended right now, this would be our first week in the red since probably June. So big picture, there's no need to be concerned. Now, if the border opens or tariffs on Brazil are removed, that will obviously have some impact. But the way I see it, feeder prices are still high. Sale barns are still hot. Just yesterday, I saw some 350-pounders for $5.96 up in Twin Falls, Idaho. We're waiting on some fat cattle cash trade to develop. We've still been in the 242 to 242.50 in the south, while the north has been pretty quiet as we kind of wait to see how that gap narrows, which happens yearly. But once again, that once that trade's established, we should get a much better idea of where we stand on the cattle futures as we head into the fall.
Maybe the bright spot when it comes to the livestock has got to be the hog market. Even though we've seen a bit of a back off yesterday in the trade, they're still doing definitely better than many had predicted they would at this point.
Absolutely. Hog futures have been the surprise lately in the livestock complex. I mean, the December contract posted 9 sessions straight in the green and has been pushing 90, which is impressive, to say the least, especially given the absence of a trade deal or consistent buying from China. Thankfully, Mexico and other countries have been buying U.S. pork. That and being a competitively priced protein option in the retail case has kind of propped up that market. Now, as we reach the end of summer and beginning of fall, we'll kind of see how domestic demand changes, but that's definitely been a bright spot of late.
All right. Thanks so much, Zach. Zach Hooker joining us today. Give us a rundown to what we've seen in the markets. As always, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. And that's the Thursday market wrap-up on the American Ag Network.